What is going on, everyone? I'm Mike.
And I'm Bash.
And this is welcome to House of Pod.
We don't know either, Titus. We don't know either.
Yeah. So, this is going to be a primarily wrestling episode since WrestleMania was too big for one night.
Yes. Luckily, we're going to throw all the news bits on first and then go into the Wednesday Night Wars. Words are difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And then move on to WrestleMania 36, which should have had a giant pirate ship hanging from it, but did not.
Yeah, that's okay.
I'm still sad.
This one was like both the war, like my least favorite WrestleMania, but it had like my favorite WrestleMania match.
I mean, we got Pirate Moxley. I kind of wanted to see Pirate Seth.
Pirate Moxley?
Or Pirate Braun would have been even funnier, but that would have taken the seriousness out of him power slamming Goldberg.
Yeah, that's very true. We were just saying earlier, this is week 3, 4 of quarantine.
We've lost count.
Yeah.
Insanity begins.
This is slightly old news now, but it's news to this podcast because it was announced the day after we recorded.
Yeah, it sucked.
Which we should just start recording on Fridays.
Probably.
And then put it out on Saturday. We'll get everything covered.
I mean, a lot of big news gets released on Friday.
It seems like it. We're just behind the curve, you know?
But Wednesday Night Wars happens after anyway.
So Marvel, essentially, now what the shelter at home has been pushed back till April 30th for now. And for now. And in response, Marvel's essentially just shift everything down. Like, literally, like, they're not just moving Black Widow. They're moving everything. So, right now, Black Widow is going to be released on November 6th, which was when the Eternals was going to be released. Now, February 12th. Shang-Chi is now May 7th of next year. Doctor Strange is November 5th of next year. And then Thor wraps up in February of 2022, which kind of leaks into Phase 5, I believe.
I'm sure they can push a movie or two back. They'll make it work.
But I know Spider-Man is not in because it's Sony. I'm sure they might announce it being pushed back, but currently Spider-Man still has their July next year date set, I'm pretty sure. But I don't know. I don't think that will affect the actual, like, overarching story of what they got going on with this Phase 4 stuff. So Tom Holland should be good. Although I think apparently that the Uncharted movie, they stopped filming, like, after the first day, they shut down.
All right.
Yeah. And Tom Holland is supposed to be playing Drake. I can't remember his last name. I don't have a PlayStation.
Drake Maverick.
Oh, is it Drake Maverick?
No.
So yeah, that sucks a lot. See, Black Widow, I'm excited for. I'm more disappointed that I have to wait until next year to see the Eternals.
I'm a little bit disappointed for that. I don't know, but I'd say Black Widow a little more. Maybe Wonder Woman up there too.
I only say Eternals because, like, Black Widow is gonna be great. I know Eternals will set up what's coming up next.
Oh my God, so many branches.
Yeah, and that's
like Groot, except movie branches.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, oh great, now we gotta wait until. I mean, granted, it is an extra just 3 or 4 months, but I'm impatient. It's supposed to come out this year. God damn it.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah.
Moving on. Speaking of Eternals, they've actually released the Funko Pops list. Arishem, who's kind of like the head Eternal on Earth. I mean, like, the one above all is the head Eternal, but you get it.
Stan Lee.
Yes. and then Crow, who's the leader of the Deviant. He's a shapeshifter at the molecular level. Both of those names were on it, so I think we might have our villains for Eternals.
I love that toys spoil everything.
Yeah.
They do such a good job of not hiding secrets.
Yeah.
But shareholders got to see their money being made, I guess.
And I got to deliver spoilers to fans.
And I got to deliver spoilers. That's a bummer, but at least that's kind of steering in somewhat of a direction. Now, you read the Neil Gaiman book, right?
Yes.
What is their role in that one? Because I've never read it.
Who is there?
Rename the people that were on the Funko Pops that you just mentioned.
Oh, they weren't really in there.
Oh, no? Okay.
Yeah, that was a whole different story.
Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well.
Well, Arishem was in there, but...
Yeah. All right. Well, then, never mind.
Yeah.
I thought it would lean a little bit more towards the, like, because I know a lot of this, that the movie's loosely based off the book, so I figured, or the novel, so...
Loosely, but I guess they're going, like, completely different, well, not completely different, but, you know, a loose base. Yeah.
A loose base. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Loosely basing it.
So, speaking of comics, and if you have the Eternals comic, you should, or any comics, really, you should just continue to read them until this is all over. Currently, DC has pushed back all of their titles from the beginning of April to the end of April. This is just for their online stuff. And Marvel is also pausing one-third of their title for May and June. What they are yet, I have no idea. I'm gonna go ahead and assume if it's not like a main story part, then it probably won't. It will be cut. Like they have House of X, but then they also have House of X New Mutants, House of X this, House of X that. So I'm sure they'll trim down on some of those. But that really sucks that it's just like, it's like, yeah, we're just not gonna publish them for now.
Yeah, I don't know why. You think they want something going on?
Well, I don't, and I was reading a couple things. I don't know if this is necessarily going to happen, but a lot of people were worried that this is kind of like the online comic stuff. Like if it's going to take off and like kind of replace actual comics, this would be the time for it to do so. But I don't think that's really the case. I know that like, if you know, the comic industry is kind of not good currently, even before all this, you know, it wasn't exactly a moneymaker, but
yeah, it's kind of moved out of print now.
But I just don't see it ever really going away, I guess.
I don't know. I think eventually, once the money dries up, that's just when it all ends. Capitalism.
Well, I think we talked about before with DC that's a little different how with that run and if that rumors are all the same. But Marvel, it seems, with Disney, like they're okay with just like helping up their comic Marvel buddies because they're the ones that, you know, you make billions. You had a loss this quarter. That's okay. You just give us this storyline and we'll make up that tenfold. Mm-hmm. So, what other news do you got?
Well, speaking of movies that will probably never get made, Gambit. They said that they are, I guess, like, they do not want to go with Channing Tatum. They're looking for someone younger.
Poor Channing Tatum.
Yeah, well, I mean, the movie did get delayed a long time.
Forever.
Yeah, but they said a Disney Plus series is possible. But as well as that, he might just appear in some other movies. I'd be okay with a Disney Plus series. Go back to like the Thieves Guild when he was younger.
Really, anything at this point would be. I want them to definitively say we're like there is a X-Men property coming to Disney Plus because that just is one step closer to the X-Men.
They released a bunch of like new X-Men icons onto Disney Plus, maybe foreshadowing like a cartoon series or something. But
that I saw that. That would be It doesn't have any connection to the animated series that they have on there now, but I heard that, the photos are like a, like, kind of like an artist rendition of that. So there's speculation that it might be like reanimated episodes of the X-Men TV show, which would be sweet because, like, that TV mm-hmm. show is awesome, but God, that animation does not age.
No, it does not.
Like, at all.
Especially the scenes of them running, which the animators themselves admitted. Like, it was a pain in the ass to get them to do
that. Yeah, it's like borderline Scooby-Doo-ish, where, like, they're just kind of standing in one position and their mouths are moving. Slightly more animated, but not by much.
Yeah.
But I just want to hear Wolverine try to swear again. Yeah. You gutter trash.
You egg sucking freak.
Egg sucking. Yeah, it's, that one's always my favorite. Do we have any more comic related news?
I don't believe so.
Well, then.
Well, sort of. Animated what? Film.
And yes, that's right. It came out again last week after we were done recording. The trailer for the second half of season 4 of Rick and Morty.
Yes, that's correct.
We'll be airing May 5th. And from what it looks like, they might be actually wrapping, like doing something with the evil Morty or the evil Morty line.
I mean, they need to do something because like right now, Rick's basically in exile. Summer's confident and doesn't need anyone's approval. Morty doesn't need Rick's approval anymore. And Beth's ready to kick him out of the house if she interferes with either one of the children's dreams. Even Jerry's kind of standing up to him, whereas before he was just kind of like
Jerry,
the boss that didn't care, but was somehow in charge of everyone. It was great.
I love that episode when they what was it? It was like they went to the couples therapy and Jerry was like the leech and... The mom was like the giant alien thing.
Yeah.
Oh God. But yeah, that should be really, really good. I mean, I love Rick and Morty. I think I said earlier, anyone who hasn't seen it, they have I don't know if it came with the trailer or if it came out like a day before, but there's like a 6-minute video of like some like Samurai Jack Rick and Morty kind of thing. And the animation is very much like the newer Berserker kind. It's like that kind of strange 3D, but it still sort of looks anime kind of feel to it.
All right.
It's interesting, but I mean, it in itself is fucking awesome. So
I'm interested.
Yes. Do we have any wrestling news?
No.
No. I guess I can think of everything is mostly set. It isn't, I believe, Raw on Monday was the last taped show that they had.
I believe they've been shut down otherwise. Nothing is essential anymore.
So yeah, so I don't know if we're gonna have any more WWE stuff coming up, but NXT and AEW might be a different story.
Quite possibly. They've announced more matches for NXT coming up soon, so
That would be interesting. This is a weird time.
Yeah, a little bit.
And it just gets weirder. And WrestleMania, it just...
But that's okay.
Yeah. Only through this.
Boneyard match.
Boneyard mask. Come here, boy. We can talk about that a little bit.
I'm not going to bury you.
Let's go ahead and jump into the Wednesday Night War stuff. NXT beat out AEW by 1,000 viewers, I believe.
That's correct.
Although the viewership is definitely down, and I'm pretty sure it's because like those empty arena matches are very strange.
Yeah.
And it's like, AEW does it a little bit better. I don't know if NXT started having like the wrestlers in the crowd.
They have not, no.
Okay, yeah. Because at least then... It reminds me of like...
Yeah, they already changed the camera angle right after AEW did it. They can't be too obvious.
Yeah, that's very true. But that at least gives it some sort of excitement. I mean, there were even some chants earlier in AEW on Wednesday, which was...
I mean, you had Robert Stone being pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the entire time he was just like yelling at the ref. Like, oh my, did you just see what they did to her knee?
Oh, I mean, we can...
Get all the check on her!
It was great. The in-ring talking in general during this whole non-crowd thing is very, very entertaining.
Well, yes, but you at least have Jericho on commentary.
Yeah, that's very true. We had Jericho and Tony Schiavone on commentary, and I mean, he was just living it up. It was awesome. The only thing I wish Taz was there.
Oh.
Only because Jericho and Taz together are so funny. But yeah, the show starts off cold open with a Jake the Snake promo. Just basically like hyping up Lance, talking shit about Cody and like mentioning all this other stuff. Which immediately goes into our first match of the night, which was Lance Archer against Alan Angels. which I don't know who he was, and I think he was, I don't know
and if
he was
shows.
Local talent. Yeah, because he just got crushed by Lance, which, understandably so. Quick squash match. That's how it's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Up next, we had a women's match between Britt Baker and Hikaru Shida. I cannot say this name.
Hikaru Shida?
Hikaru Shida, yes. I think I talked about last week, she did that weird dropkick thing.
Uh-huh.
She did it again.
Oh, where, like, she just immediately goes into the dropkick, because, like, your opponent's nowhere near you yet.
Yeah.
Wait for it.
Yeah. Which I was like, oh, this was weird. But then the match itself, like, really, like, got super intense really quickly at one point. Because I think, I don't know if she got a hit or a kick in, but, like, Hikaru nailed Britt. She was just bleeding out of her nose everywhere and just, like, looking very sadistic in the process. I will admit.
Yeah, it's kind of sexy.
Britt Baker. Her smack talk game is pretty on point. I love, like, she did a famous her at one point during the match and then just, like, started mocking Billy Gunn. And then was talking to Tony Schiavone through the camera. Like, just because, and which I feel awful for them because Jericho's talking to him like shit and then she's talking shit to him. It's just like, poor Tony.
But it works.
Yeah. But we, the match ends. I mean, it was, like I said, it was pretty wicked, but the match ends. Britt catches a running knee to the face, and that's enough to put her down for the three count.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like I said, really, really good match, aside from that kind of weird thing again. I don't know what's going on, but.
Yeah, eventually someone will call her on it.
We had a few promos during the night. I'll kind of smush them together because they're basically the same thing. It was like a promo between John Moxley and Jake Hager because I missed when they said this was happening. They're having a match for the championship. I don't know if it's next week or if this is going to be set up for Double or Nothing.
I don't remember when they said. I think it was one of those like next time.
Yeah. But Hager, you know, was talking about how his Bellator fight got canceled, so now Moxley's in trouble because he's been training MMA, blah, 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 all this stuff. His wife comes in the shot at one point. It was like, he's like something about like coming home a winner, he's not coming home at all or something. It was like,
harsh.
Yeah, right? But yeah, after we had all that, there was another kind of backstage thing with the best friends. And Kenny Omega and Michael Nakazawa, where, like, Kenny and Michael said that they were best friends, more best friends than the best friends. And then Orange Cassidy kind of comes out of nowhere, like, through, like, a door that was, like, in their trailer or something. And then the other best friends come in, and they basically have a match for the right to call themselves the best friends. And this was 100% a comedy match because Michael Nakazawa was just lubing himself up with baby oil and, like, rubbing it on the rings, and it was actually doing stuff. At one point, I can't remember the name of this move, and it's just... It was like a mandible claw, but instead of pulling off his sock, he took off the thong that he's wearing underneath his ring gear, wrapped it around his hand, and then used that to do the mandible claw.
Interesting.
It was fucking gross. And, like, Jericho was just having a field day the entire time, laughing his ass off. And this shit, it was weird. But, of course, the true best friends ended up pulling the win. Although, Nakazawa kicked out of a pile driver, which was impressive. And then he was immediately hit with a double team finisher. But
of course.
Yeah. Keeping the name of the best friends with the best friends.
As it should be.
Mm-hmm. Number four on my list, we had a nice little promo that led into another squash match with Brody Lee. I don't know if it's necessarily doing more of the Vince McMahon stuff.
Yeah, it's a little Vince McMahon-y.
I think it's his. He's his character is that overbearing boss, though. It just now it's just going to come off because he did these like couple Vince promos. It's going to come off like he's acting like Vince.
I actually heard the theory that they just kind of like shot a bunch of them all at once, and now they're just kind of playing them week by week.
I can see that too. And they're just kind of like, shit, well, let's wrap these up. But yeah, he was just mocking some of the Dark Order guys for not being dressed up.
Not wearing a tie.
Yeah. And then he had a fantastic squash match against Lee Johnson. I mean, he fucked this guy up, man. I don't know if you... did you see this at all? It was like a minute and a half match. He did like essentially four moves, but it all looked like...
No, I got up to pee and missed it.
He like his finisher, the like buckshot Lariat, that like huge discus clothesline that he does. Clothesline. I mean, he folded this guy like a map on several occasions. Like it was fucked up, and he sold it like crazy too, which was good. But like he just destroyed this guy, and the whole time he kept staring at Marco Stunt in the crowd, which I thought was interesting. Because I know that they offered Marco a spot in the Dark Order at certain points, so I don't know how that's going to go. But
Marco Stunt, the Dark Order confirmed.
Right? Oh, we did. I did. I missed this part. There was a promo with Matt Hardy just talking shit about the circle of innards or whatever. the lay hole of ass Jericho. I think he said that... Sammy he's a false god, and he probably isn't even Spanish. And then he said that he proud and powerful. He's like, I love Puerto Rican food, because he wants to devour them. It's like, oh god. My favorite part was Vanguard One shows up, and he's like, where's the shirt that Jericho gave you? And he had like one of Hardy's shirts, and he's like, no, that shirt is wonderful, but not that one. And then there's a little scroll on the screen. He's like, it's fire. And he's like, the shirt is fire? He's like, dumpster fire. And he's like, yes, it is a dumpster fire. And you look over, and it's just like in a fire. And he's like, oh, literally a dumpster fire. But then...
everything Matt Hardy does is so good.
I know.
I don't know why the WWE just didn't let him go with it. It was the hottest thing in wrestling. Do you think listening to it would make it less hot?
Just stupid. It was just dumb.
Sorry, carry on.
But yeah, we ended. He challenged Jericho to an Elite Delete match at the Hardy Compound. Which is going to be...
Oh my.
I'm excited for, but I'm also a little worried because it's like also going to be a couple weeks out from these other filmed matches that we've had. So we'll kind of see how that goes. But yeah, the end of the night... We had the first in the quarterfinals for the TNT Championship with Cody versus Shawn Spears. Really long match. This was like definitely the longest match on the card. Really, really good. There was some... There was some really nasty spots from Shawn. He eventually, at one point... I can't remember who set the table up, but there was a table set up. Chekhov's table off in the corner. Brandy gets up on the ropes. Shawn is like confronting her, looks over at the table, looks at her. Cody eventually comes back, grabs him, like goes and almost knocks Brandy into the table, and he's like, get off the thing. She gets off, and then Shawn Spears just Death Valley drivers from the ring out to the outside through the table.
Nice.
It was awesome. But the match ended. This is the one issue that I had with it. Cody got back in right before the bell ended. Or the bell ended. The count of 10. Shawn went to go for another Death Valley. He reversed it into a crossroads. Did another crossroads. Shawn kicked out at 2. Then he put a figure four leg lock on him, and Cody got the win with a pin.
Yes, because he was in so much pain, he forgot to lift his shoulders for 3 seconds.
There's a lot of like,
yeah, it was kind of
not
weird.
Smart pins that have happened within the past 4 days.
That's one of them.
But yeah, Cody moves on to the semifinals, I believe. I think we'll get Sammy and Darby next week. Then we also have...
I'm looking forward to that one again.
Yep. Then we're going to have Coco Bana and Lance Archer, along with Dustin and Kip Sabian.
I'm not sure who I'd give it to that one. I think Kip's got to go over.
I feel like it's going to end with Cody and Lance in the finals, and Lance is going to destroy him.
I could see that.
Yeah. But yeah, that was AEW for this week.
All right.
Basham, I have not seen, but I've heard that many things happened on NXT this week.
The beginning was great. The ending was great. There was a match in the middle, lots of promos. And Mauro Ranallo is back.
Woohoo!
Yeah, I'm so much happier that he's back on commentary. He was by himself, but that's fine. Because we open with a 6-woman ladder match for the number one contendership for Charlotte Flair's title now.
Don't get me started. Later.
We forgot two cardinal rules. Don't bet against Charlotte. Don't bet for Dolph.
Fucking
stupid. Anyway, yeah. Moving on. We had Candice LeRae versus Dakota Kai versus Tegan Nox versus Chelsea Green versus Mia Yim versus Io Shirai.
Yeah.
And of course, Raquel Gonzalez was at ringside because where Dakota Kai goes, Raquel goes. And she made her presence known a few times. Like, at first she tries to kind of, like, slide a ladder in for Dakota. But then, like, Mia Yim and Candice LeRae kind of, like, do a baseball slide into her. And then they just kind of, like, take turns beating Dakota Kai up around in a circle for having Raquel interfere. It was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
There's a second time, though, where, like, everyone's out and Raquel just kind of hoists Dakota Kai up into a fireman's carry, and she just kind of like carries her up the ladder. She's intercepted by Mia Yim again. But, it was just kind of brutal. She actually kind of like got over into the corner because she was like pulling Mia Yim up by her head. Mia counters, goes into a kind of a powerbomb predicament. And then Tegan Nox comes and runs up, and they do kind of a double team choke slam sit down powerbomb thing. And then directly afterwards, Dakota Kai just boots Tegan Nox in the face. It's like a haluva kick. Yeah, there's also one spot that I need to mention where Io Shirai kind of like climbs the ladder, but Raquel like pushes the ladder over with Io on top of it. And, like, Io being the genius of the sky she is, she kind of, like, stands on the top rope for a second, then jumps onto the pile of ladies. And then that's when Raquel gets Dakota and starts to pull her up. So, back to present time. Tegan Nox has been kicked off of the apron, and she lands into a ladder that's been kind of suspended on the barricade and the apron. It looked brutal, but really good. Okay, so then the finish comes, because eventually... it's Io and Candice just kind of like punching each other back and forth, you know, trying to decide who gets the briefcase. Io kind of like gouges the eyes, just like grabs Candice's forehead and shoves her off the ladder onto another ladder that's been suspended in the second rope in the corner. And Candice just bounces like a basketball.
Ooh.
Yeah, it looked brutal, but Io Shirai is your number one contender. I'm so excited, but I'm kind of disappointed because I don't know if they'll take it off of Charlotte so soon.
I mean, if they... I
want Io to have it. She's so good.
I'm just so angry.
Yeah. Moving on, we get a Finn Balor promo. He basically kind of, like, pauses. He's like, okay, well, you know, I can't get out of the country now, Volta, but as soon as I can, I'm coming for the NXT UK title.
Walter's like just staring deadpan.
Yep.
Assumingly out into space because he can hear the promo. From where is he from? Walter?
I don't know, the UK somewhere. I don't exactly remember where.
I always thought he was like a Russian.
He gives that persona, doesn't he?
He does.
Very large man. Moving on. Next up we have a Malcolm Bivens Enterprises versus Ever-Rise. If you've never heard of them before, there's a reason for that.
Nope.
Because this was, it kind of resembled a tiger mauling, in fact.
Oh, no.
with a backbreaker elbow drop finish by Indus and Shear. the two large lumberjacks in skirts. This was just to get them over. But it worked. They look like monsters. Of course, when you come in and you're 7 foot tall, that kind of aids to itself.
Now, really quick, I'm sorry, before you move on. The way you described this, it was really exciting at the beginning, really exciting at the end, and there was a match in the middle. Was this the match in the middle?
It was.
Okay, I was trying to gauge the excitement of how you were telling me without your description.
That was it, and it was a squash match, so...
Yeah, so it was the match in the middle.
Yeah, been a lot of those lately. Like, I get we need to keep talent fresh, and Paul Heyman loves him a squash match, but...
Dear God. Really, with all this closure and all that stuff, this is the best time that you've, like, have squash matches and make your guys look big. Because then when you can have the crowds back on, then you'll have somebody, yes. You know, a couple extra guys that really cheer back up. Yeah, fuckers.
Moving on. Adam Cole promo. He kind of like runs Bobby Fish down a little bit because he's like, yeah, Velveteen, you beat Bobby Fish, but it's only Bobby Fish.
Damn.
So it's like, ooh. And he says, like, if you keep getting in his way, I'll shatter your spotlight. So yeah, we're getting Cole Dream for the title soon, and I can't wait.
It's going to be really good. Dream's going to take that shit.
Oh yeah, and then Adam Cole's going to go to the main roster, as he should be. Next, we get a Rhea Ripley promo. It's basically Charlotte gloating, and then Rhea's like, she was a lot tougher than I thought.
And that was it. As you see her stock slowly fall.
Oh, she's a lot tougher than I thought.
God damn it.
Well, I guess her work visa expired, and she had to go back to Australia, but supposedly she released I can't remember if it was a Twitter or an Instagram. I think it was an Instagram. Where she was, like, at her house in Florida a few days after people had said she'd gone. So I thought, like, as it stands right now, she can't leave the country because no one can fly out. But she can't work because she doesn't have a work visa anymore.
It sounds like they are just trying to make up excuses for once again ruining another women's wrestler via Charlotte Flair.
Well...
Look at Asuka.
Sucks to suck. Yeah. Flair's daughter.
Yeah, I guess.
Moving on, because we had, Gargano versus Ciampa, the final chapter. It starts off with Candace dropping Gargano off, and she kind of like hands him a brown bag and then drives off.
Oh, God, he's got a gun.
Yep, he walks in, shoots Ciampa, leaves. So we walk in, we got Triple H in the middle of the ring, and he's reminding both men, like, all right, when the fight is over, it's over. I mean it. End this. As soon as I leave, the match starts. sorry, that went a little Vince there.
No, that was perfect Triple H.
Anyway, he leaves, and they begin, and they fight all over the building, in the backstage. At one point, Ciampa powerbombs Gargano through a table full of water.
And then he pulled out his gun.
Nope, they're not in the closet.
Oh.
But they do battle like on top of a car, and then they're on top of a production truck. Then they move back to the ring, where Ciampa hits an air raid crash off the top rope onto the outside of the ring.
Ooh!
And this is our first pin in the match at a two count. It's like 20 minutes in.
Jesus. That.
Yeah, that's how the atmosphere starts off. 20 minutes in, we get our first pin. It's an air raid crash from the top rope to the outside for a two count. So there's a lot of crutch beating to get the camel crutch out. And Ciampa kind of like locks in this camel clutch with the crutch at one point. Gargano racks the eyes of the referee to kind of like get out of it, because then Ciampa's like, oh man, he can't see the tap. Then Gargano's reeling on the side. Ciampa accidentally, like, knees the ref. Gargano gets out of the way at the last moment. So the ref is out for a good long time. Then they get to the... They beat the crap out of each other for quite a while longer. And they end up, like, hitting each other with a double shot from the broken crutch. And it kind of, like, knocks both of them out. And then Candace Ray appears, and she is just crying. And she's just like, what are you doing? Like, yo, you guys are friends. You were so close. And she's like, well, finish it, Tommaso. And then, like, Gargano kind of grabs her hand, and she's just like, if you don't finish it, I will, and just, like, kicks him in the dick.
She kicks Gargano in the dick?
Yep.
No! But...
Yeah.
Dick kicks. Betrayal.
Yeah, so then she just kind of, like, leaves, and Ciampa, like, he's on the ground, and he kind of, like, crawls over to Johnny. He's like, Johnny, I'm sorry. And they both apologize. It's a real tender moment. And then Candice LeRae comes back in and kicks Ciampa in the dick. A lot of dick kicking.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it's like AJ Styles, Nakamura all over again.
Oh, no, that's not a good thing.
Yeah, but then him and Johnny start laughing. You see Johnny pull out a protective cup. He picks Ciampa up and pulls him up for the fairy tale ending under the and on the wood from underneath the ring that was exposed earlier, but it never got used. Chekhov's wood. I could have phrased that better. Anyway, fairy tale ending. 1, 2, 3. Johnny Gargano wins, and this feud has to end there.
Man, what a fucking...
Yeah.
What a ride.
And then as they walk out, like, you kind of see a car sitting over there on the side. Like, they don't really zoom in to see who's in the car, but it's Killer Cross.
Just waiting?
Oh, yeah. I assume Penelope Ford's coming with him, but it's Killer Cross.
All right. Man, that would really suck if they just were just like, all right, we don't have any more of anything right now.
Well, I'm kind of hoping, like, you know, Triple H goes to Gargano next week, and he's like, so where the hell's Ciampa? Like, I told you to end it. And he's like, what do you mean? I left him in the warehouse. And Triple H is like, he hasn't been seen since.
Dun, dun, dun. Killer Cross.
Yes, Killer Cross just starts abducting people.
I see. I have to say Killer Cross, not Killer Croc.
Yes.
Because then...
Different franchise.
I mean, same amount of killing.
Oh, you ain't excellent.
So, moving from one wrestling to the next.
Bone saws ready.
3 minutes of playtime.
Oh, yeah.
By 3 minutes, I mean 2 nights. Because WrestleMania 36 was 2 nights. Too big for one night. I love the shirts that they were selling that just says, I wasn't there.
Yeah, that was great.
They're at least embracing it. So... two separate nights, two locations. How was it, like 16 matches or something? 16 like
matches,
that?
Unless you count the two pre-show matches, which don't count, but yeah. 18 then. But they don't count, so they 16. Don't count.
And it doesn't matter because neither of us.
Shh.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about it right now. It still hurts.
Mm-hmm. Everybody hurts. So, day one, pre-show. Drew Gulak versus Cesaro. Cesaro won a match.
Yeah.
I'll be damned.
Good for him. That was pretty good for good, nice pre-show warm-up.
Yeah, did not expect it.
Mm-hmm. I don't think there was... That was the only pre-show match, right?
That was.
For night one. Mm-hmm. We jumped straight into the Kabuki Warriors versus... Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross for the Women's Tag Team Championships.
And Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross won.
Yep. Which, because, of course, we're like, oh, remember these belts are still a thing?
Because the rumor is Kairi Sane's leaving the company soon.
Yeah, I was, and I actually wrote down in my notes, Kairi looks either really bored or really tired during this match.
Yeah, she looked like she didn't really care too much.
Mm-hmm. Which is understandable. Her talent is completely wasted on the main roster.
Yes.
Yep.
She's the only person that beat Shayna Baszler on NXT, and...
Now what she's
Now she's the weak member of the Kabuki Warriors.
Floating in obscurity like most people who come up from NXT.
Mm-hmm. Which is weird, considering they've held the titles for a long time.
Yeah, but they... That's also one of those, like, I always forget who holds this belt.
Yeah.
So hopefully going forward, they'd be able to, like...
Oh, no, don't worry. Soon it's going to be the Iconics!
Oh, God. I guess they're, like, the only actual tag team. So that'd be nice. Aside from... Well, not even that. Yeah, I guess... Yeah, they're technically the only actual tag team. Because Kairi and Asuka are, like, singles competitors that started a tag team.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that how all tag teams start?
No, well, Iconics were always a tag team. They were always the Iconics.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? Hardy Boys came in as the Hardy Boys. Except when, what is it, Jeff lied?
Yeah, I'm going to say, no, Jeff did not. But...
Not that, yeah.
Yeah.
The second match of the night, we had Corbin versus Elias.
King Baron Corbin versus the Drifter, Elias.
Sorry. Which in a match that was really good, actually... Didn't mind it. That the lack of audience made that guitar bump so loud.
Yeah. So loud. The shatter was. Mm-hmm.
That was really nice. That, and I will, and I'm going to go ahead and put this on record saying that Elias has the best shirt tear ever.
Yep, there's no hype to it. Just
no, gone. It just happens. Yeah. And that's, I think that's better than the hype.
Mm-hmm. Next up, we had Shayna versus Becky, and I'm going to cover this just about as fast as the match was.
Elias won that last match.
Oh, yes.
which everyone saw coming. Well,
I don't know. You could have thought he was going to die after falling off the balcony.
That's true. That's very true. But
so, yes, again, moving on. Shayna versus Becky, giving it as much time as they gave the match.
No, I got to say something about this one. All right. I cannot accept the fact that Shayna lost in this way.
All right. Again.
Like,
that's how Kairi Sane beat her the first time, but it was a lot longer than a 9-minute match.
It is just like how even I think I might have mentioned this before, and because the more I thought about it, the more it just infuriated me. Even if on two, she was like, "Oh shit," and you see some sort of movement of her trying to get out of that, but it was like,
"Yeah, nope, just take the pin."
Yeah, like oh, she's gonna pass out before this or something. Like, oh my god. It just makes her look stupid, and with essentially like making that Elimination Chamber match utterly pointless because she's able to take out, you know, the rest of your roster, which even makes them look worse because if this person doesn't understand when she's getting pinned, but then can beat all of your women competitors, then what does that say about everybody?
She's huge just at the point where she's like, wait, a pinfall? I've been putting one of these in a while.
It's just like a chain reaction that is just like, okay, yeah, Becky's not going on vacation anymore. Who fucking cares? Like, look at the narrative. If you're going to do something like this, be smart about it.
Yep.
But no, just another shit NXT call up from a once amazing wrestler. I'm sorry. I'm Let's move on. I'm angry.
Yep. Sami Zayn versus Daniel Bryan. Speaking of a once amazing NXT wrestlers.
To another match that pisses me off. So, I'm okay with the fact that Sami won. I'm not okay with the fact that all it took to beat Daniel Bryan was for him to lift his foot up and for Daniel Bryan to mess up a high-risk maneuver.
Concussion.
Who cares?
I don't know. I'm trying to justify it.
There is no justification. No, it can't be. He ran away from... And there is so much begging in this these WrestleMania shows. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of people, like, begging.
And Sami Zayn was dressed as Castro. That was odd.
I think that's going with the gimmick, though, because they did have something in the back that was like, the Liberator, Sami Zayn. Which is weird. Like, a little bit too on the nose, but... Yeah, Sami retained by a kick to the face after Daniel Bryan beat the fuck out of him.
Which is about how I thought the match was going to go.
I thought there was going to be offense from both sides, not just one.
Sami Zayn forgot he could wrestle.
Anyway.
Yeah. Morrison versus Jimmy versus Kofi.
Yeah, so this was another weird one.
Because the tag team title match was defended in a single three-way ladder match.
Yeah. I will say, it was a really good match.
Yes.
Despite how odd it was and how upset I was about the ending.
The one-legged starship paint into the ladder was amazing.
Yeah. Another thing, and I'm sorry, like, night one, I was very not pleased with, so I'm going to air my discrepancies on it. Because when we talked about this last time, whenever the tag belts were on the line and it was in a ladder match, whenever anybody unhooked them, that was it. So this ended with everyone having it, but Jimmy was the one that unhooked it, but they were all holding onto it. So in my eyes, from
then
what
Morris had unhooked both the belts from the metal
but
thingy.
In my eyes, the what they have been telling me is Jimmy's the winner because he's the one who unhooked the belts. Just because he got it off doesn't mean that that's it. Because, like, usually it's never both tag members climbing up and taking the belts down. It's always, like, one person and then other guy's, like, defending him off. It's just...
Or standing there cheering him on so someone can visibly go in and push the ladder over.
Like, that was a cool ending, I will say. Like, but it's just, this is, it's like, just make your rules more specified. Like, you can't give.
But let's face it, SmackDown, they only feature these three teams, yeah. So that's cause but for
still,
a rematch.
But still, like
maybe
they can
long term booking.
Like the amount of people like they ate like on the roster too, who like will give AEW shit about their rules and like not following tag rules and stuff like that. It's like you can't call out someone else, but then just be wishy washy with your own shit, you know. Mm-hmm. But that's just me. I apparently. Logic is embedded in my brain. And
yeah, well, also, that's why they used to have the tag belt suspended from a single ring, so you'd have to go up there and then grab them.
Yeah, and you'd have to actually get the belts, but when they switched over to the coat hanger, yeah. Whenever it was.
Because
it's easier.
Coat hanger.
We don't want them to fumble trying to get the magnet unhooked or something. I don't know. Up after that was probably my favorite match of the night. My favorite actual match.
Our Monday Night Messiah.
Yes, versus Kevin Owens. The match started out, was pretty decent. Kevin Owens was whipping ass, and then Seth gets himself disqualified by just hitting him in the head with the bell.
Yeah.
Which was...
Lulz.
Yeah. So then Kevin calls for the match to be a no disqualification. And Seth's like, don't do it, Kevin. Don't do it. But Kevin had to get his WrestleMania moment.
And he did. He jumped off the WrestleMania sign.
Yes,
he did. But it was not a pirate ship.
Yes, he did. Yeah, it wasn't a pirate ship. But
he jumped off the WrestleMania
sign. But that's okay, because he still gets that cool jump, and he's not dead. Because whenever I think of giant falls like that, I think of New Jack. And just that... Fucking...
You don't need your legs.
Yeah. Like, that shit's scary. That's unnecessary.
That's probably fine.
That's probably fine. That's only 30, 40
feet. Did anybody die?
That's not the point. Oh, man. But yeah.
Moving on. Goldberg versus Braun. I believe there was a finisher every 20 seconds, roughly.
Yeah. The heavyweight championship matches as of late, it seems, at least with Lesnar, are just like everybody has their finisher, so then they just use them right off the bat. It seems like it's leaked over to here too, because it was like, I want to say three spears, four power slams, four and five, something like that.
It was really quick, which kind of makes The Fiend look even dumber for losing to Braun.
That is 100%.
Or for losing to Goldberg.
That's 100% true.
Mm-hmm. But Goldberg refused to lose that one. He wanted to have the classic good versus evil story on himself, not Roman.
Yep. And, that's why you shouldn't depend on semi-retired wrestlers. Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, his contract ended at WrestleMania, so he had to lose.
Fucking dumb. Probably the best match of the night.
Yeah, we get AJ Styles entering in Undertaker's old entrance, and Undertaker entering to Metallica.
Yeah, on a motorcycle.
Dressed as a biker, but retaining his cosmic powers.
I guess.
Like, he was still throwing fire and shooting off explosives and stuff.
But he was definitely Dead Man Inc.
Oh, yeah. He was definitely a biker.
Biker. He was talking like, I think Brian.
Homeboy, I'm an old broken down man. Wanted this.
I think Brian Zane of Wrestling Regrets said it the best. He was like, it was like your biker dad beating up the kid who beat you up.
Nice.
You wanted this, son, huh? You wanted this? I'm gonna make you famous. You know, so they did the shot at Goldberg when he like hit the lead pipe on the hearse, because Goldberg, I guess, did that too, but, like, actually punched something.
Oh, okay.
Back in WCW, or no, it was WWE. Then, at one point, we had Gallows and Anderson show up just to bring out the Druids, who I guess have turned because he's Biker Taker and not the Dead Man Taker.
Yeah, seems like it.
AJ goes to bury him at one point, and then he just pops up behind him.
He teleports.
Yep. And then he throws Gallows off of the top of a building, tombstones Anderson on top of said building, and then choke slams AJ off of that building.
Because the choke slam is AJ's weakness.
Mm-hmm. And then gives him, like, respect, obviously.
Yeah.
But
he's like, don't bury me. He's like, I ain't gonna bury you. You just fought your ass off.
More begging in WrestleMania. Okay. But yeah. Ends up booting him in the hole, and then putting...
burying like, him in a very, very thin layer of dirt.
Just the smallest amount. Just enough so you can see AJ's hand sticking out of the
floor. Which I'm pretty sure was a mannequin hand anyway.
Oh, it's so funny. It was really good, though. I mean, it was basically a brawl. I like Max was saying, it was like, this is like watching like Criminal Minds, like the way that it was shot and stuff. But
yeah,
I'm
okay with that. Their cinematic matches seem to be working.
Yeah, this one, and it definitely had a different feel than the Funhouse, obviously, but like
a little bit.
Yeah, it's definitely my favorite match of the night. It's nice to see Biker Taker back, because I've always been a big fan of Biker Taker. Yeah. Any other thoughts on night one? Aside from only having like one or two good matches?
I thought I had more than that, but it had a lot of like just okay matches. Moving on to day two. Okay. We have the pre-show opener of Natalya versus Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan wins.
Yep. That's
it was there.
It was there. It was a match.
So we open up with Charlotte versus Rhea, which as soon as it opened, I was like, oh, man, I should have never bet against Charlotte Flair.
Yeah. Once again, just the same argument that I had with Shayna, just take away her being stupid.
But this is a little bit different, because this match was at least competitive.
Yes. That's
It wasn't just this like, oh, okay, dump in.
Yeah. It was like she was like, they actually put up a good fight, but it was, yeah, exactly. It was like just another... Like I said earlier, just someone who should have won at WrestleMania to really
add
more credit.
We need Charlotte Flair! It's
like, no. Could have had two separate stars, but she had to squash them all. I don't understand.
Yep.
I mean, like, what's it called? I kind of feel like it was looking bad because, like, I think Rhea right away, like, hit the finisher.
Yeah, she hit a riptide pretty quick.
Which normally is like, ooh. Like, I mean, normally when people do that, I feel like they always lose the match.
When they hit a finisher quick, usually.
Yeah. But anyway, we move on to Bobby Lashley versus Aleister Black in a match that doesn't really make much sense.
Yeah, but... well, another blonde cost a match that... was one. Basically, Lashley had Aleister up for the Dominator. Atlanta just kind of jumps it up. No, no, spear him! Spear him! So Lashley kind of, like, drops Aleister down, goes for the spear, and Aleister Black just kicks his face off.
Yeah. I actually wrote, like, big ass kick to the face, because that was a solid connected.
So I think this match just existed to further Aleister Black as a badass, and further that wedge between Lashley and Lana, because they need to push Lashley while punishing Lana for her husband not signing a contract. Moving on.
Fucking childish.
Dolph versus Otis.
Yes.
In the storybook ending we all wanted but didn't think we'd get. Oh, then again, no. We all violated another rule. One of them being don't bet against Charlotte. Another one, don't bet on Dolph. Because Dolph Ziggler loses.
That's so weird because like this seemed like it was made for Otis to be the one who lost. Although, I will say... if they didn't have that reveal on Friday before, I would have been more leaning towards Dolph in this match too.
Yeah, I was kind of debating switching my answer because of that.
Yeah, because right when that came out, I was like, okay, that's clearly like Otis is gonna win. And he won. He won the night 100%.
I'm a coming.
I will say this is what I said. No crowd plus talking in the ring makes me happy. It is only from Otis.
Otis makes penguin noises from Batman Returns.
Yeah, the noises that he makes are just so fucking funny. I'm so happy he got the win and all that. Like I want that storyline to continue and not it be like an immediate backstab.
Yeah.
Because it's probably going to happen.
Probably.
But.
Although I got to say, Tucker and Angelo Dawkins, they picked really good tag team partners.
Yeah, that's true. They're good. Well, I mean, they're both good in their own rights. They're just like overshadowed by the amount of charisma that they're tagged, they're, you know, partners with.
Yeah.
Yeah. So during the match, Mandy shows up and nutshots Ziggler.
Kicking the dick.
Yep. Gets the caterpillar in, and then Ziggler hoists his woman up. Good stuff.
Otis hoists his woman
up. Can you imagine that pop if there was a crowd? There's so many moments in this, in night two in general, where I was like, man, there's a crowd here. This would have been nuts.
The sound of the pop just when Otis caught Mandy in the Women's Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. When he rolled out from under the ring.
Oh, I meant to mention this earlier, but if you are having a hard time watching this, do what we did and put on like a 10-hour loop of WWE crowd noises on your phone, and it helped.
Surprise. That did, yes.
It definitely helped kill that weird silence that was happening.
Well, next up, Edge versus Orton.
Ugh.
It went on a little too long.
It went on really long. And there was a very... I remember pointing that out in that when I think there was that really awkward spot where like...
Orton, the Benoit spot?
Yeah. Yeah, I pointed that out and I was like, that's a little weird. And I think even Scooby was like, oh, it's a little bit different. But I'm like, nah, man, that's...
No, that was me. It's like, ah, probably fine.
And then the internet's like,
yeah.
Should you not do that? But yeah, they beat the fuck out of each other. I mean, it went on forever.
Yeah, they could have cut out the getting to the back of the production truck, because on top of the truck was really well orchestrated and well done, but it was getting there that's like, okay, this could have...
A really good ending with the concerto on top of the truck bed.
Yeah, like when they were fighting under the ladder, all I was doing is like, oh my god, that is a huge ladder. That thing's got to be like 70 feet. Holy shit.
I wish they would have used that, because that was an obnoxiously large ladder.
That's a Jeff Hardy ladder.
Yes, it is definitely a Jeff Hardy ladder.
Next up, we have Gronk winning the 24/7 championship.
Yeah, and then he ran off, and Titus O'Neil took over. Aruga, 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 aruga. Mm-hmm. I think that's the noise he makes.
Yep. Next up, Angel Theory versus... No, Austin Theory versus Angel Garza.
Angel Theory. Ooh, that'd be a good tag team.
I almost got the Austin Garza. But yeah, Angel Theory would be a good name. You know, if they weren't both there to
This match was really good, but we knew who the winners were going to be because...
Street Profits.
The amount of shuffling that went around all of this was there. You could see it. Yeah. Although we did have that sweet, that nice moment at the end when Selena Vega, they all started attacking them at the Street Profits at the end. Selena Vega was like orchestrating the attack. Then Bianca Belair came running down for the save.
The EST of NXT.
Took me a while to figure out what that meant. I was like, what is she established? And it's just like, oh no, it's just like adding the best. Just the
to everything.
Yeah, I'm like I crumpled.
Yes. Next up, we have Bayley defending her title against Sasha and Tamina and Naomi and Lacey. And Dana Brooke, but she had her mouth injured in a Dave Batista accident. We won't get into it. If you know, you know. Bayley retains.
Yeah, this match was interesting. Like most matches with Tamina in it, she dominates the first half, and it always takes all the women.
Eliminated first.
But it always takes all the women to do it, and then you just never see her again.
Unless Nia Jax is there.
Yes.
And then everyone does that to her first.
Exactly. Yeah, I was definitely rooting for Naomi on this one.
Same.
I think because at this point,
it was in her hometown in front of her hometown crowd.
I think I don't even think I picked her. I just think at this point I knew I was going to lose the title, and I just wanted you to win it.
Yeah.
But
and Naomi should have won the title.
Yeah. But we had a little bit of just planting the scenes of the Bayley Sasha split when it was like I think.
Yeah, she accidentally like hit her in the head or something like that.
Yeah, and then when she was apologizing, she like saved her from getting hit but then like got hit, like took a pin, and Bailey was just like watching her and didn't do anything. So then
slow burn.
Yep. And at the
until end, Vince gets bored.
At the end, who was it? Was her and Lacey, right? At
yeah,
the, yeah. Sasha comes in and helps Bailey at the end. That so we'll correct. See. We'll see how next goes. So up next,
up next is the Firefly Funhouse match, but let's move beyond that.
Yeah.
Drew McIntyre is your new WWE champion.
Yeah.
And that's about as fast as the match went. There was Claymores, there was Germans.
It was a, yeah, same thing as the about it. Same thing as the Goldberg Braun match, just replaced the characters and their finishers. Mm-hmm. And, bunch of F5s, bunch of Claymores.
And yeah, we like this.
And another like missed opportunity pop, but I'm pretty happy for Drew.
Yeah.
So I can, that once again, like as long as they keep that momentum going, when the crowd gets back, he's gonna get a huge pop when he comes in.
Oh yeah, just imagine that first like first bagpipe.
The hero's welcome from just everywhere. Like, thank you, Lesnar's not here anymore.
Yes. Now to the best match of the night.
The best match of WrestleMania.
Yeah.
This was
John Cena versus The Fiend. Jesus. Or was it John Cena versus himself?
It was definitely John Cena versus himself. This tricked me at first because when Cena came out to his music, I was like, this is supposed to be a match. Or like I was
a
like
Firefly Funhouse match, yeah, not a match.
Yeah, like what's happening? But should we go through the decades and the references that they traveled through?
Let's touch on it.
So yeah, Bray is in the Funhouse, basically tells Cena he's gonna face himself. And Cena gets teleported to the Funhouse. Ramblin' Rabbit kind of assists him into
this. He's like, hey, yeah, the Fiend, he went through the door. Good luck, John Cena, dude.
This, like, yeah. Then Cena ends up in a dark room with the Mr. McMahon puppet, just telling him about ruthless aggression over and over, which then cuts
to... You need to get over here, you're fired!
Which then cuts to, like, a pretty close reenactment of Kurt Angle when he did his ruthless aggression speech when John Cena came out, including the SmackDown fist and the get-up.
Yep, the John Cena tights.
So good.
And ruthless aggression, and he, like, swings and misses a few times, and there's a little subtle, like, you can look, but you can't touch from Bray in there.
And
so good.
I was like,
wow, no wonder this gimmick failed.
I like how you can, it's interesting throughout the whole thing, it's like, you, like, Cena does an actually pretty decent job of portraying to the audience that he is not really in control of what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like, he says in the rap battle, and when the next scene, when he,
oh, I get it, I could only talk in rhyme.
Yeah. The scene before that, when they do the Saturday Night main event, and he's Johnny Meatstick.
Yeah.
Oh, my, which is the best name ever. Just sitting there and, like, just pumping iron, like, the funniest. That was, like, one of my favorite skits about the whole thing, was just that whole segment. Like, his muscles are so defined, it doesn't matter how much talent he has. Doesn't matter if he has talent, as long as he looks beefy. But I don't think we can just do it justice by just, like, repeating everything.
Probably not, but we should mention it goes to the NWO where he's kind of compared to Hulk Hogan, except Hogan turned heel and Cena didn't.
That's like, yeah, that seemed to be, like, the whole crux of everything. Not just Cena's, like, entrance and all the random stuff, but it seemed like Hogan knew when to turn heel. And the whole thing with WrestleMania 30 and Bray, like, that was Cena's moment to embrace the hate and become the heel. And he would have been as popular as Hogan, because that's really what everyone wanted.
Yes, it was.
And it never happened.
Of course not.
But, I mean, between him doing the Hogan references and just that, the whole, like speech that he gave saying that he's going to, like... Or that Cena gave last week saying he's going to get rid of the, like, most overrated, you know, under-talented, whatever, like, superstar. Yeah. I'm like, oh, my God, he's talking about himself. Mm. This is such good shit.
Yeah, that was the best part. Just the Vince moment. This is such good shit.
That wasn't what I meant, but yes, that is. Mm. I totally forgot that part. That's such good shit.
That's some good shit.
God, I love Fitz. Fitz puppet. Do you think we're getting a Cena puppet now? Because, like, Bray counted the Fiend pinning Cena.
Yeah.
And then John just kind of, like, disappeared.
Yeah. I would, honestly, I think it would be really cool if they did, like there was a John Cena puppet for as long as John's gone. And then if they want to bring him back, he can, like...
He just disappears, yeah. Bray just 1 week. Have you seen my John puppet?
Yeah, exactly. But this was hands down best match of the night. Best match of both nights.
Yes.
If you, I would highly suggest watching it, the whole thing. And there's so many random, like, references and digs and stuff at, like, Cena's career and, like, how the fans see him and how, like, just, it's ridiculous. You see CM Punk in the flashbacks, too. There's, like,
amazing.
Yeah, they show, like all of his biggest failures, like him, like, losing to Orton and CM Punk for the titles and all that stuff. It was really good. So well made. And I want to see another one.
And we get that Kevin Dunn shot, too. The feet
over the shoulder. Honestly, like... Him and Keith Lee are the only ones that I enjoy seeing that shot out of.
Yeah.
Like, an angry Keith Lee is just as scary as the Fiend.
Oh, God. That's like a grizzly bear in the background.
Right. But I hope they do more of these, but I hope it's not a lot. Like, this should definitely be, like, a special occasion kind of thing.
Yeah, they can't overhype it.
And I think I might have been telling you this the other day. I think this would be a really cool way to retire people. Like, you gotta have to go out on top, sort of, kind of thing.
Fiend Taker, Survivor Series.
Yeah, and then...
Undertaker puppet.
Yeah, exactly.
And you should have put me over that WrestleMania, Taker. You already lost.
And then just go into everything and all that. That would be so fucking good. Yeah. So that's the Manias for this year. A very odd one in these odd times.
But a good one.
For the most part.
Uh-huh. One of the better ones, I think.
I don't know about that one. That's what I mean. It's like I would definitely not. Overall, this is middle grade WrestleMania,
which is better than some of them.
Yes, but it's like it has some of the best matches, WrestleMania matches, in my opinion. So it's, but it's only like one or two. Like,
and the two best ones weren't technically matches.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like it can't offset the dumb fucking booking with Shayna and Becky, or Daniel Bryan and Sami Zayn, or Charlotte and Rhea. Who else?
I have not sure. Which still wasn't that bad. Goldberg Braun, but that was neither here nor there.
Yeah.
Corbin versus Elias was good. The Kabuki Warriors losing wasn't that bad.
Yeah, it's just like an title that they never care about. It's just like an feud that just sort of happened. But like the stuff that they were building up to just shit the bed. And then the stuff that were like, what's this going to be? Like, crush it. So... Yeah, and then we'll see if we'll have any other WWE stuff going forward.
Yeah, they're on permanent lockdown now.
They're still doing ads for Money in the Bank, but they're notorious for...
Yeah, and supposedly that's not happening. I guess it's been confirmed by several insiders.
Fuck. Man, this is weird.
Yeah, I want my Money in the Bank match.
Mm-hmm.
That's my second favorite after the Rumble.
Right?
It's one of the few gimmick ones I don't mind, but then again, that's... How do you announce this? We're having a Money in the Bank match.
Yeah, right. I think that's the podcast for today.
That is the podcast for the day.
We don't know what's going on next week. We talked about comparing Spider-Mans and our D&D game, which will be in the works.
Yes.
That'll be a lot of
fun. Coronas and quarantines.
Mm-hmm. I did want to give a quick shout out to whoever's listening to us in Ashland, Oregon, because the statistics on our Spotify thingies are very fascinating, and it's fun to see
people outside. Spotify just owns them now.
Yes, it's like the same thing, essentially. But it's nice to see people outside of the state that we, of the town that we live in, listening.
which is fun.
Hey, Todd lives like three towns over.
That's like Tinley, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Those are Tinley, Orlin, and Mokena are always on there. But for whatever reason.
And Oregon.
Oregon and Illinois jump back and forth. Currently, we have more listeners in Oregon than we do in Illinois. So our own state is behind. Needs to start stepping it up.
Yeah, that's fine. I'd move to Oregon if it didn't rain so much.
Does it rain a lot in Oregon?
Yeah, parts of it.
I don't know. I wouldn't mind it.
Anywho.
Yes.
Check us out on the social medias at House of Pod 1.
Yes. Instagram, Twitter, all that other fun stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we will be back next week with probably more cancellations and weird news because that's the world we're living in.
Mm-hmm.
It will become normal one day, I promise.
Yes, but until then.
I'm Mike.
I'm Bash.
Good night.